Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to Nobody Panic with me, Stevie Martin.
And me, Tessa Coates. And today, so excited. And today we've also joining us in the isolation studio, we've got Annie McGrath. Hello, Annie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Annie is currently on lockdown on a potato farm. So we're very excited that she's here.
Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Terrible Wi-Fi, but lots of potatoes.
So good. So we wanted to do an episode about, I don't know if anybody listened, and if you did, if you didn't, go back and listen to it. We did how to understand wine about a month ago. It feels like 17 years ago, before lockdown. And it was really, really fun. And then we thought, well, we're in this lockdown situation. Why don't we do a couple of bonus episodes about like fun hobbies, like things that you can like look a little bit out of the ordinary, a little bit niche. And one of the things that we've always, I do not understand is art. Very broad to say that, but like any art, art galleries, they make me feel like I can't say anything because I'll say the wrong thing. I can't confidently. Me and Tessa went to the Affordable Art Fair.
I saw you both there, didn't I, at the private view.
I saw you, yes.
Bumped into you at the cloakroom.
Classic.
Oh God, of course.
It was just meant to be.
Just three artists, just like at the
browsing,
fair.
Looking for art.
And you bought some art, Tessa. That was amazing.
Yes, well, there was a free bar. So once you spent sort of...
bought a drink, that's what you said.
Sorry, what I bought was a drink.
Yes, it was a drink, if not art.
Well, well, exactly. As I kept saying to the bartender as they asked me to leave the free bar, this is art, I screamed. No, I'd been there about, we'd been there about 3 hours. Even Stevie had been like, "This is, I'm out, mate. This is, we've been here a long, this is too long." Annie, you were leaving as we came in the door. So I was really... they started playing... In and out, done. They started playing this country and western music to make people leave, which had the opposite effect on me. So I was like, I'm loving it. And then I bought, me and my mum were there, and we bought some art together. It's the sort of thing you browse around, and I think everyone has felt this, and everyone's going, and very, very serious people with, you know, very serious glasses and a cardigan are saying, well, quite, at each other. and sometimes things look like absolute shit, and then some things, you know, something you know, you're like, and that's a lot of money, is it? And then you keep pointing. The drunker we got, the more Stevie kept shouting, like, that's £20,000 across the room.
Yeah.
And it was like a small crumpled bit of like wire. And then
I don't think that ever goes away. I've been to quite a lot of art fairs now, and still I'm like, how much?
Okay.
So I'm not sure that goes away. But.
That's good. That is heartening to know. And also the thing as well is like, there's only so many times I can say, I quite like that. I don't know why. Like, I want to be able to say why I like something, you know, like be able to say something so I'd sound like I've seen art before. And this is the first time I've left my house.
Yeah. I think what we're desperate to get from you, Annie, to give up, to extract from you, is to have any of the right language to be able to express ourselves, and to have any of the sort of confident, at least one like little tiny nugget of confidence.
So that I want one noun
that we can just keep saying. You don't have to think of it just a second, but like just one
what
thing.
What about an adjective?
That's fine.
We'll take it. We'll take anything. Like, just so when you're in those situations, you aren't just like, oh, I mustn't say anything in case I reveal myself to be an absolute moron, you know?
Well, one of the things I think Stevie mentioned before was if you're on a date and you're looking for sort of ways of not sounding stupid in a gallery.
Oh my
God. Yeah. That's what we're desperate for.
I always think less is more. An art cliche. So yeah. I always think the people that sound the most stupid are the people who are just constantly talking. And you're like, you don't know what you're... Like, everyone sounds stupid in an art gallery, I think.
Oh, okay.
Good. So a lot of pausing and a lot of like...
Pausing.
Interesting.
Or maybe just like turning it into a question or like making yourself sound like you don't know very much. Like, God, I didn't realise he was working as early as that. Or something that implies that you did know.
Immediately.
Like, you know about the artist. God, I hadn't realised that was the 16th century. So then it's like, oh, she knows...
This is absolutely perfect.
I felt both confident and aroused at the same time. I was like, yes. I was like, I'm going to smash this date. Oh, yeah, okay, that's perfect.
And then there's like words that are quite vague as well.
Yeah, go on.
So, that make you sound informed without actually saying anything because no one will question words like evocative. Because what does that really mean? Gosh, it's a bit derivative.
This is good. But then don't you have to say who it's derivative of? Like, that's derivative of
I think sometimes you can leave it open. Who's going to question derivative of whom? Like, then you don't want to be on a date with that person.
That's so true.
It's a real litmus test.
And I suppose then the less you say, the more they... So if I was with someone, I think the panic is, if I was with someone and they went, that's very derivative, I'd be like, I should say... who it's derivative of. But if you're saying that, then the other person can be like, yes, it reminds me of an early some artist, and you can be like, that's what I thought, that's the one I was thinking
you
of.
Pass the baton back to them.
So it's like tennis, exactly. But you want them to just hold the ball the whole time. Like, you don't want to have the ball. We get too deep into it, I do want to ask you first what the most adult thing you've done this week.
Well, Monday morning in lockdown, 9:30 a.m., I made a coffee and walnut cake.
That's
not the adult thing. That's part of it. But I did, when you bake a cake, you have to transfer it from the cake tin to the cooling rack.
No.
Okay, great. That can be my...
I'll be absolutely honest. No, I didn't know
that. It's very difficult to do. And I managed to do it without the help of my mum. And the cake maintained its shape.
This is great. Oh, I see what you're talking about. You're talking about the bit that that I know as the great crumbling, which is when between oven and plate is on the floor.
Bit in between, so it doesn't get soggy bottom. You have to put it on a cooling rack, like an oven tray that's cold.
Oh, I have no idea.
You transfer the cake from the tin that it's been in to the cooling rack so that it cools without any...
Is that why they have the detachable bottom? So you push up the bottom.
But then you still have to sort of...
Put it on something cold.
Oh, and once it's on the bottom, you have to slide it onto the cooling rack.
Yeah, which is stressful.
Oh, bloody hell. Well done. Was it delicious?
It was delicious. Yeah, really good.
Wow. That's
well done, Annie.
That's really great. Well done.
Thanks,
that's excellent.
Guys.
I don't even know what a cooling rack is. Now I know. But I want to go immediately back to art. Just quickly, before we delve into more sort of things to say, because I'm basically chomping at the bite to talk about more about that, because that's ideal. You've got, Annie is a writer, actor, comedian, podcaster. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. Baker and cooling rack enthusiast. Cooler. She's cool things. And also, like, please do listen to her podcast, Secret Artist, which is excellent. And basically she gets comedians on, funny people on, and paint. You paint something. You make something with them. And then you learn about them. You learn about, like, what they feel about painting. It's one of the most lovely things to, like, pop on when you're, like, cooking or when... I mean, I've never cooked, but, like, when you're, you know, like, it's really relaxing is what I mean to say.
Oh,
it's really nice and, like, really funny. And I think that, anyone listening has, like, you don't have to know anything about art to, like, really enjoy it. But
I did an art foundation course at Camberwell. So I did painting for a year, and then I went to Leeds and did English and theatre.
Did you? Okay, cool.
Useless subjects.
The holy triumvirate of absolute dross. Yeah.
Exactly.
But so you did do a year of an art foundation. You are really, really into art. You do paintings. You do commissions, don't you?
I do commissions. I do sort of landscape and figurative painting.
Figurative means it's got a figure in it?
Things with a figure or a landscape.
That one I had, I got a grasp.
You nailed that, Tessa.
But figurative, I was like, I'll just check.
But also very quickly, just to move it away from me, but that was very nice of you. Thank you. Tessa, you're also an artist. Let's be honest.
Oh, well, I knew that was coming. Of course.
And Stevie, I think you are too. And I'd love you both to be on the podcast as well.
That's very kind.
We both love to be on the podcast. I'm not, but I was going to say why Annie thinks that is that at Christmas, Annie ran an amazing charity art fair, would we call it? Art gallery?
Exhibition, yeah.
Exhibition, that's the correct word. Thank you. You're going to have to really come in with a lot of the nouns for me.
Art.
Art in the room.
Yeah,
big art in the room. And it was for, it was a charity thing that comedians submitted an art piece and then they were bought by the general public.
Yeah. Tessa was wonderful and she did not have any faith in it to the extent where she tried to get me to buy it. And I was like, I don't want to in case someone else buys it. And then I've taken away what could be a real genuine pleasure. Next
and
day,
lo and behold, my cousin bought it.
It got bought.
I
couldn't believe it. I did this piece of the moon, everyone, and I took the lessons that me and Stevie learned at the Battersea Art Fair while we were getting drunker and drunker and bellowing things across the room, which was I did this painting of the moon. I did it on an old French magazine.
Man.
An old French man. He just stood in the corner of the exhibition for me. No, so I was like, so at least people will say like, oh, that's on an interesting bit of paper, I thought people would say. And then I did the frame and I sort of flicked a bit of white paint at it. So the frame looked like space. Basically, I was trying to like detract away from my lack of skill as much as possible with a lot of like faff.
That was great. You're really playing it down, but it was beautiful.
It looked beautiful. And also like she got me to take a photo and like a video so we could see like, if it stuck out badly among everything.
Yeah, I was so worried.
I tried to explain to her that it absolutely didn't. If anything, it was one of the best ones. It was so lovely. So that's why. But look, isn't everyone an artist in a way?
In a way.
Also,
in
a way. The only two moon paintings in the exhibition, mine and yours.
Wow.
Love the moon.
We love the moon.
Love the moon. Well, that's exactly what you're saying, Steve. I was going to say, like, you don't, when you walk into, like, playgroup, as I regularly do, you don't see children saying, like, oh, I can't do this, you know.
I'm not an artist, but I will, like, I'm not a sculpturist, but I will, like, have a go at that clay. Like, they're just like, I'm going to make my father in clay.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. So it's not like we aren't naturally good. We're born with the confidence. We just somehow along the way, we lose all of that, you know.
So, Annie, right. I want to ask you, and it's a very big question, it's probably too much, but imagine you're talking to someone who I genuinely did not know what figurative means. I don't know what any of the words are other than that is a painting. Mm-hmm. What would you say for someone like me, I like the broad sort of categories of art. I'm not talking about, I can tell a sculpture from a painting, but I mean oh, that's, look, I don't even know. What is it like the National Portrait Gallery and like a Jackson Pollock? Only two pieces of art I know. They're very different.
They are different things, yeah. One's a sort of museum. So what I've done is I thought I'd summarise five different periods of art for you. Yawn.
That screamed.
I want to preface this by saying I'm not an expert on art history by any means. So hopefully...
You're the most expert in this current room, so...
Thank you. So I thought I'd just give you a few little... tidbits about some art history periods. I'll gobble them up. Okay, so the medieval is a period from 500 AD to 1400 AD.
Earlier than I was expecting, let me tell you.
Wow. And that's like loads of church stuff. So anything you see that's sort of very religious, like crucifixes, basically you're looking for Jesus, you're looking for gold, and like medieval.
And who among us is not looking for Jesus and gold, you know, day to day?
Especially in lockdown, that's all I'm after.
A lot of demons and devils and things?
I'd say more sort of saints and things like that.
Okay.
So you can say like, regardless of whether it is actually medieval or not, you can say this has real medieval undertones here, you know, or this like...
Yeah, you can say... Got it. Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the sort of medieval period.
Reminiscent of. Okay, taking notes,
reminiscent
people.
Reminiscent of is good, yeah. Then the next one I thought I'd summarise is the Renaissance period.
Very sexy.
And I thought a good way of remembering some of the key artists is because the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are all named after Renaissance artists.
Raphael.
Michelangelo. Yeah. Donatella.
Yeah.
One David? More, I think.
Leonardo.
Leonardo, yeah. Michelangelo, Donatello.
Raphael.
And
that's
somebody
your Renaissance guys.
Mwah, perfect.
So they're sort of really into like very attention to detail stuff, like human form, lots of sort of strong men like touching each other.
Are they the ones that there's like big strong men and they have like tiny little penises?
Because there is a very, it's like noticeably tiny, I would say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it used to be a sign of strength.
To have a tiny penis.
Tiny little penis.
Yeah, and then it's also...
that was a real PR job by somebody with a small dick. I think you'll find.
It's actually a symbol of power.
I think it was a meme, so maybe it wasn't, but it was something about like how when you see those like sculptures and they've got like tiny little pieces, it makes their thighs and their muscles look so much bigger. Maybe that's a thing. Sure. You want a man with big old thighs, apparently. So
So the next period I thought I'd mention is Impressionism, which my mum recently described as a load of old shite. She's Irish, right. So she can sort of get away with shite. But you'll recognise that. That's like your Monets, your Manets, your Pissarro. Ringing any bells?
Yeah. I'm already stressed that there's a man called Monet and Manet, and they're two different men. That's deeply unsettling.
It is stressful.
And one, you'd think that they should have got together and been like, listen, one of us is going to have to change, you know? Yeah, and so somebody's doing the lilies?
Yeah, Monet is the lilies.
What do impressionists do?
The whole idea is that they create like an impression of a picture rather than like a realistic depiction.
Oh, of course.
Delicious, so like of course, yes.
Little brush strokes. Almost quite childlike and...
Finger painting.
Like focused on colour and light, so lots of like pastels and... So they're sort of quite sketchy looking.
Okay.
I'm doing a lot of movement with my hand that won't come across to the listener.
What was the thinking behind the Impressionism? Like, why were they suddenly like, we should try this?
Were they like bored of all the realistic stuff? Is it like in literature and it's like, whenever it goes one way, it always swings back the other way. The next period is always completely different to the one before.
I think that's exactly right. Before that was like realism. So everything was very sort of photographic and it was like people were trying to create the most accurate depictions of real life, and then suddenly they were like, fuck this, let's just make it like the idea of what the landscape is like.
Lovely.
I think I like that, because then if you're an impressionist, you can be like, you can draw, say, a bridge, and it'd be wrong, and you'd be like, well, that's an impression of a bridge, isn't it? So go on, what's the next?
Okay, the next one I've written down is Cubism.
Oh,
which is 1907 to 1914, and this is the sort of art that I think you'd get a lot of people being like, well, my four-year-old could do that.
Mm.
It's quite like abstract. Picasso is one of our main guys. Mm. Lots of distorted shapes and, again, not at all realistic.
Mm. I think I did Cubism for GCSE art, I think, and I struggled very much with that because it was like I didn't know how to... You know, we had to like do a still life. You had to do like a proper still life, realism. Reminiscent of the Renaissance.
Yeah,
I'm so happy. And then we had to do a cubist version, and it was just like, well, I don't know what you want.
Like, just chop it all up and stick it on top of each other in the wrong places.
Yeah, that's what I could have done.
I'm going to say I went to Picasso's house, but as I say that, that can't be right. But I think at some point I've definitely been to either a Picasso exhibition or a museum or something. In the Picasso Museum, there was some drawings that he did when he was 11, and they were the most beautiful things you've ever seen. Like, some were of his mum, some were of a beautiful, of a christening. Like, they were just like outrageously beautiful. And you sort of thought, and then when you, the later and later you got into his life, the more it was just this like chaos, the stuff that you're like, oh, my four-year-old could do that. And I think that's why people find it so sort of hard to get their heads around, because it's not as nice to look at as his early stuff. And that's a sort of...
Yeah, I kind of agree. I saw a lot, I think it was in Malaga, I went to a Picasso museum, and loads. I was so impressed by his early stuff and how actually good at drawing he was.
And it's really, really hard to come away not sounding like a total dunce by being like whispering under your breath, why doesn't he just do the good stuff, you know? Like, why did he bother with this weird shit, you know?
Perhaps you could say, it's an odd thing to say, but I'm just less into cubism than many. And then
live.
Very powerful, Mike Stevie.
I don't have the words, like I don't have the in-between words. Now I've got the nouns, and now Annie's given me reminiscent of. That's all, I can only put it in that format.
I think that's good. Everything you said has been great. Thank you. One more Please. Period I was going to just quickly mention is op art.
Pop art. Op art.
Which is pre-pop.
Okay.
So this is like 50s and 60s, and this is when technology is all a go, and this is people like Bridget Riley who do lots of like pattern, color, shape type things where you stare at a page and then it like becomes a shape, optical illusion, basically anything that makes you feel dizzy
that's off art. And if I saw something and someone was like, well, it's very contemporary, what's the cutoff? Is it like, is 90s not contemporary? Do you know what I mean? Like, what does contemporary mean?
Contemporary means now. And then before contemporary was modern. That's confusing because you would think that modern is now, but we've had modern.
When was it? We've missed it. When was modern?
Modern was in the past. Modern is from, like, the 1860s to the 1970s.
That checks out because I remember doing English Lit degree and taking modern as a module because I was like, yeah, I want to read some books from now, please. Yeah. And it was all like which was fine, but that wasn't what I wanted.
No, so we've had modern and we're currently in the contemporary era. Yeah.
What's going to happen when we get to beyond contemporary? Because we're going to come up with another name for now.
Yeah, it's so confusing. I don't know who decides on the names.
Neoclassical, neo-contemporary.
Oh, okay.
That's good.
Options, just offering the art world some ideas for the next era.
And
wait, we've had neoclassical.
We've had it. Well, what about if we have neo-contemporary?
Neo-contemporary is good. Neoclassical is like 18th century.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, so we touched on this at the start, but what are some other things you can say, good, valid things to say and do at the gallery? We've got say less.
Right.
We've got say that's very reminiscent of.
We say, oh gosh, I didn't realise he was working that early.
Yeah. Gosh, 16th century.
Gosh.
Much later than I thought. Gosh.
You just keep saying gosh and then just saying like gosh and then someone says what? And you say, well, quite. And then... just move on.
You can also detract from your conversation by just laughing at what other people are saying. That's the most fun thing to do at galleries. Go, did you hear what they said? Ah.
Well, so mean. I'm the person that people will be laughing at.
No, you're not. So other things you can focus on, I guess. Colour. Mm-hmm. It's simple. It seems obvious, but
so what do we say? What do we say about the colour?
You could say something like, again, gosh. real depth, isn't
depth.
It?
I think the struggle is that, like, you just want to say, like, I like that. And it's very hard to be like, well, and then someone will be like, oh, why? And you'd be like, nice.
Depth.
But I also don't think you should have to justify why. I mean, there's a lot of pretension in the art world, isn't there? But
I think
it's valid to just say,
I like that. I like that. I think, if I may, that I think a lot of this, how we express ourselves in there, or how you folk express yourself, I think a lot of it seems to be about the artist's creation as opposed to just your own personal interpretation of it. So it seems to be a lot of like his use of detail, their use of the abstract brush strokes, the use of color rather than just like the color. So it seems very much about interpreting it as the process, exactly right.
Process, also a good word. Process, quite, gosh. Should we go to the gift shop?
Oh, no, we went on a French trip once and once in an art gallery, I saw a woman just go, oh, and then go, the carte postale? Like, can we go and buy a postcard, please? Love this now. Which I was like, yes, that's how it feels all the time, being like, to the gift shop.
That's all anyone wants. All we used to want is to buy a postcard to prove that we've been to an exhibition. Ooh. And now it's just take a photo for Instagram.
Yeah,
that's true. Done. That's interesting. Can you take photos? Are you allowed to take photos of art?
I think some galleries like people taking photos because it creates a buzz and then more people go to the exhibition. But then sometimes because the paintings are so old, they worry that photography will, with the flash on, will damage the painting.
Yeah, sure. Now, who are your favourite artists? Like, who do you love?
I really like, there's a woman called Genevieve Figgis, who's an Irish artist, and she paints quite sort of distorted figures within landscapes, and her use of colour. Worried about using any.
No, please use them, so we know to use. We want them. We want the buzz.
They're just quite sort of magical and a bit grotesque as well. So I love her. Again, I like a man called Peter Doig, who similarly does like sort of magical landscapes. So the colour is really vibrant, and the scenes look quite realistic, but there's like an edge to them.
Yeah,
nice.
So I like that kind of thing.
That's nice.
Tom DeFreston, he's an artist who I know who's brilliant. I love his stuff. Figurative.
So you're very into figurative.
I'm into figurative, yeah. There's a woman on Instagram who is called Sarah Shaquille. You might have seen her stuff. She uses like crystals.
Oh.
So she's been doing a lot of stuff recently, taking photos of doctors wearing PPE, but then she like digitally adds crystals to make them look sort of supernatural.
I'm going to love her.
Oh, yeah.
She's great. I mean, some of it, I'm like, that's the tackiest thing I've ever seen, but I love it.
Yeah.
One more, my friend Roz Edenbrow is amazing. She does like floral prints. So she's great. Jenny Saville, you probably recognize her stuff. Again, she does like quite grotesque figures. So some of them are quite crude, like nude paintings, but with really like thick paint.
And it's grotesque what it sounds like, as in like it's sort of slightly mutated forms, a bit not shocking, but a bit more like, oh, I can only do it without.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Like, not sure your granny would like it.
Oh.
A thick brush, isn't it?
I like Degas.
Yeah, he's great.
That's all I've come up with.
Who's Degas?
The one with the ballerinas.
Who do you like, Stevie?
I actually genuinely don't have. I know that when we went to the art fair, I really liked kind of slightly odd landscapes. So there's one that was like all these like black trees and then white, almost like whited out figures under, and there was like black and red and white, and it was quite like bold. I quite like bold print type things, and I really like, I'm a sucker for something painted on some newspaper. That's why I love Tessa's Moon.
I think, Stevie, you really like bold contemporary mixed medium.
That's great stuff.
Things on things. Love things on things.
On things. Maybe that's the next genre in art history.
It's contemporary. It's modern. It's contemporary. It's things on things. Talking about, do you know any current trends in art? Like, as in, is there like a movement happening at the moment that we see a lot of that maybe, I don't know, maybe Instagram is affecting, or I don't know.
Yeah, I was trying to think about this. Definitely technology in art has become a trend. And with the lockdown, there's been loads of different trends, and exhibitions are now being put online. There's like online auctions. there's definitely, I don't know if this is because of the lockdown, but there seems to be a lot of like behind the scenes, as in artists showing how they work in their own homes and posting out like videos of them teaching art to make it more accessible.
I'm a sucker for a time lapse, you know, when you see how someone's drawn that. I watch that all day.
Yeah, another trend I've noticed recently is like twee pictures, but with something crude written on them. So I don't know if you remember at the exhibition that I curated, Rose Matafeo did a sort of beautiful floral embroidery, and then it had Never Ending Dread sewn onto it.
Yes, yes.
I think that kind of contrast is becoming popular.
So my question was, about, I guess if you wanted to sort of tiptoe yourself into art and you were ready to like do a bit of beginner learning or whatever, if there was either any great online resources or anything that people could learn more about, a bit more of a history of these amazing periods of art. And the second phase was if anyone's looking to buy art and start sort of building themselves a collection, if there was any affordable places that do lots of good things, or if you just recommend sort of going to, I don't know, I don't even know where you begin on your art journey.
In terms of learning how to do art at the moment, there's an Instagram account called Isolation Art School. So they're getting well-known artists to do sort of lessons, so anyone can take part in those on Instagram. Then in terms of building a collection, I mean, it is hard to know where to start. I think art fairs are useful because you can get an idea of what you like. Art fairs are where there's like hundreds of dealers. I know you know that, but just in case people don't.
Please.
And the Affordable Art Fair is a good one to start at because, I mean, affordable, the word can be misleading because it's not affordable for lots of people, but that's the sort of cheaper end of the scale in terms of buying art. There's London Art Fair as well, which is, I guess, one up from the Affordable Art Fair in terms of how it's perceived, but again, a good place for looking at what sort of art you might like to start collecting. And then there's loads of stuff online. I think Instagram is a great place to find art. In terms of online exhibitions, like the Royal Academy are doing all of their exhibitions online at the moment, so it's quite weird. You can visit the galleries and there's no people there, you just look around the art.
That's quite nice, and also probably be quite like quick as well, because you're often like queuing, or you're often like just get in, have a look around.
And also takes the pressure off having to say anything about the art, because in the comfort of
your
own
home. Right. And then you can just whisper your special phrases to yourself.
Yeah, you can just go quite the depth under your breath.
There's also the National Portrait Gallery are also, they've really got involved on Twitter, and they're tweeting out famous works of art and asking people to recreate them. And so
I love that. Yeah,
so sometimes that people are doing really beautiful paintings and representing things, and sometimes people are like making it in fruit and like making it out of pasta shapes, and it's really lovely. And sometimes they'll say things like, well, the other day they did do draw a bat, and it was felt like slightly misjudged under the circumstances.
Not now guys.
It really felt like they hadn't, as though someone was like, oh fuck, like they really hadn't thought, oh yeah, maybe a bat isn't the ideal thing.
Well, they scheduled it like a year ago.
How could they ever have known? But that's been a really lovely thing of seeing just how like creative people are and what lovely bat drawings they did indeed come up with.
Yeah.
And also the rainbows in support of the NHS. That's been a nice sort of trend.
That is lovely.
Mainly kids, but that's been a nice thing.
Have you done a rainbow, Annie?
I haven't done one, not because I don't want to, but because I'm on a potato farm in the middle of nowhere. No one would see it.
You could do potato prints.
I could do a potato print.
That'd be very good, wouldn't it?
I haven't done one of those for ages. That's such a good idea.
Her use of potato print in this piece is really reminiscent of the medieval period, and also evocative of her time on the potato farm during her blue period in lockdown, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I'm going to start doing some potato prints.
Please do.
Thanks, guys. I'm inspired.
I'm inspired.
Look, what I think is so nice is the idea that you don't have to be a special person or to like a piece of work. Like on Instagram as well, there are always, you know, like my sister does these like ink paintings, ink drawings, and they're really, really beautiful. She wouldn't ever describe herself as an artist, but it's like, if you're on Instagram and you see something that you think is really nice and someone's selling it for like 30 quid, you're like there's no reason to be like, oh, well, it's not Manet. So it's like, it's all very democratized, and it's a lot easier now to get access to like a nice affordable print, isn't it?
I was just going to mention that I've done some work with an art charity called Kursler Arts. So they do an award scheme in prisons. So they get prisoners to create artworks and enter them into an award scheme. And then they hold an exhibition at the South Bank Centre each year. So that's quite a nice way of making art accessible to everyone. And I think it also just shows how art can be like a therapeutic process rather than, like, it doesn't have to be for someone to view necessarily. It can be a release.
Definitely. Just
creating it.
Absolutely. Our friend Ellie's mum runs a charity called The Art Room, which the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate, chose to as her patron to be the charity of.
It's just
this lovely small charity. Yeah, it's amazing. But it's for, yeah, it's offering art as a therapy, you know, for children who might otherwise have like nowhere else to be able to express themselves and do creative, interesting, you know, things. I think it's such an amazing restorative thing to be able to do, to create art.
Well, we've got quite a few friends like who are not artists. They would describe themselves as, I don't know, directors or actors or whatever, and they just really like painting, and they'll like pop some things up on their Instagram, but they're not necessarily selling them. It's just obviously like a thing that is like they just wanted to do it. They've got a camp, they've got a little easel that they got off eBay, and they buy canvases, they buy paints, and then they just like have a go. And I think there's something, it's a really good skill in just letting yourself go and not worrying about whether other people will like it. Because look, we're like, Picasso was a bit shit. Like, so if we're thinking that, then whatever you do, whatever anyone does, it's Quentin Blake and his banana hands, isn't it? Like my boyfriend being like, I can't draw, I can't do this. Like anything that you create it's great because you've created it, it's yours and you've done it. And also what's so nice about like lots of these like galleries like the Tate and like, you know, like whenever you go into, there are some galleries which make you feel like, oh God, I should really know these things. And then there are some that are a lot more friendly and a lot more accessible. Even things like the Turner, where you're like, what's that? It opens you up to just kind of either like it or not like it, rather than go like, oh, I know this is reminiscent of, or like, ah, this reminds, this is the depth of colour. You can literally just be like, that's nice. And to not feel, you know, to not feel bad for just like liking things or not liking things.
Yeah, I think with art in a similar way to like wine or classical music or anything that sort of feels like it's of a, you know, you have to, you know, really know before you're allowed to, you know, have an opinion. Whereas really, I think what this is teaching us is like, oh, anyone's, you've got a pair of eyes, in which case you can enjoy it, you know?
Absolutely.
Definitely. I think art has the perception of being quite a niche, like elitist form. But I think definitely the lockdown has proven that everyone can do it. And yes, you need to have like a certain amount of materials, but if you've got like a piece of paper and a pencil, you can order some coffee. I've seen art made out of coffee.
That's cool.
There was something on the Grace and Perry show where someone made a portrait of him out of soy sauce and spaghetti. So we're all bloody artists, for God's sake.
There we go. We're all bloody artists, for God's sake. That's a nice thing to leave on, isn't it? Annie, what's your? How can people follow you? How can people find you?
I'm on the Potato Farm.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
I'm on Twitter at Annie McTweet, and the podcast is Secret Artists, and it's on Acast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the handle for that is Secret Art Pod.
And your artist Instagram is McGrath.art?
Yeah, and I've actually just built a website.
Oh, yes, so please. What's your website?
I think it's amcgrath.art.
Are you accepting commissions and things during lockdown?
I am indeed, yeah. So there's examples of my work on there.
And I'm inspired to, there's quite a few people on Instagram that I, you know, have always been like, oh, that's lovely, and I just think that's lovely from a distance, and I'm gonna actually get in touch with them and say like, can I buy your nice thing?
Yeah,
like, yeah, do. Now's the time.
Yeah,
and then they say £600. There you go.
Yeah, and then they'll say, yeah. I'm working to £8,000 commission. I'm like, well, very good luck and goodbye.
But yeah, please do as well follow us. We're at Nobody Panic Pod, and if you have any suggestions for future episodes, nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com, and I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
At Tessa Coates.
There she is.
There she blows.
Thank you so much, Annie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I really enjoy that both me and Stevie kept trying to outdo each other with impressing you.
Yeah.
Kept being like, well, perhaps we could say this, mother.
I'm very impressed by both of you.
Thank you, gold star. But if you had to choose who was best in the...
I couldn't grade you. It's actually subjective. So
yeah.
That's a good word.
Subjective.
Yeah.
Everything is subjective.
And that's it. Everything's subjective. Don't let anybody make you feel that your opinion is doesn't count because it's literally
exactly.
subjective.
Absolutely. That's, but do subjectively download and subscribe to our podcast and subjectively,
and objectively like the podcast.
Review it because it is
objectively 5 stars.
Yeah, 100%. Excellent. But yeah, see you next week, guys. Have a lovely week and maybe have a little paint.
Buy some art. Make some art.
Have a go on Instagram. Fill your Instagram feed with lovely art. Art for all. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.